This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to everybody. So as you may have heard on the KMOX news, we had a big announcement today. After 100 years of being on 1120 AM, 2 weeks from today on the 24th, I believe around midnight, some sort of a switch will be flipped and KMOX will have a new home on 104.1 FM. We will still have 1120, so it'll be on both 1120 and 104.1 FM. And then it allows us in the future, if we want to like separate those things out and carry a game on 1120 while we cover something else on 104.1, we'll be able to do that. But it is a really, really, really big deal. I know that if you're not in radio, you're not, you know, on the show, on the station, it's less of a big deal. But trust me, it's a big deal. Because when I came over from 97.1 5 years ago, the only downside was the signal. And we just knew that, you know, things move on, technology moves on, 50,000 red hot watts wasn't what it used to be. And when people are used to the full rich FM sound and you tune into AM, it just doesn't sound as good. And so I had been on them for the 5 years I've been here. Steve Moore, our boss, who really pushed it through at the end, along with Becky, had been pushing it for like longer than that, 7-10 years. And so it's a really big deal, and we're all just kind of getting used to it, not sure what to do with our hands. And
you throw them up in the air like you're on a roller coaster. This is awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That is huge news. And I don't want to speak to the entire history of KMOX because I haven't been here that long, since 2006, but with a little 6-year break in the middle. This has to be one of the biggest things that's happened to KMOX since it came on the air 100 years ago.
One of the biggest things to happen in radio.
Yeah, and maybe aside from becoming, you know, the Cardinal relationship happening, right?
Yeah.
Like the nexus of that connection is probably number one, aside from just coming on the air and being great. But as far as changes go, this probably is not too far off of that.
Yes.
And this isn't, you know, that's not to say that the AM signal is not important, because it still is. And I believe and I agree with the people in Congress who want to make sure that the AM signal stays in vehicles, electric vehicles, which are trying to phase it out. Because in an emergency, sometimes the AM signal is the last line of communication that's available. So we are still going to have that. But if, you know, you have ever listened to sports on FM, so when you listen to Cardinals baseball on 104.1, it is going to sound infinitely better. It will sound so good. You'll hear everything. And so really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a good time. You can't avoid noticing the difference once you do. Yeah. Right. And it's not like, you know, we've had the as you pointed out, Dave, we had the FM translator. This is bigger, obviously, which means
yeah, it's a full
you're
signal.
In the area, you're hearing it. And then obviously the 50,000 watts on 1120, that carries still. So right, you can still listen on that if you're in Farmington or if you're in Warrenton. Or,
yeah, nothing changes there.
Right. Like if you're listening at a distance, nothing changes, man. You still get that, which is the importance of that signal,
right.
Which is why
right.
All of those, whether it's KMOX, you know, WGN, WJR, you know, WABC, like all those big AM 50,000 watters, you got to keep that. And you've got to keep that around in cars, too, because that's the signal that those signals just by those 10, 12 stations can cover the entire country.
And I should also point out that I was reprimanded earlier by somebody who I think participated in the Great War, that it was not always 1120, that originally we were on 1090.
Oh.
And then in March of 1941, the signal moved over to 1120.
There you
go.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. But anyway, it's been 1120 for most of anybody's life who's listening
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to do on our 100th anniversary. That's very cool.
Good timing, yeah.
Yeah. Brand new start.
To me, the timing of it is interesting, too, right? Because you're having your 100th birthday, which is a lot about history. You're celebrating a historic event. We're going to spend a lot of time this year celebrating the great people that have come before us. You know, the great elements that came before us, obviously the Cardinals relationship, but you're also not staying in history. You're moving into the future. You're moving into a spot where you can fully stay advanced and strong and, you know, be where everyone is all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's perfect timing. It's just, I know that nobody planned it that way. It wasn't like, let's do this in year 100 because... If we could have done it 10 years ago, I'm sure the bosses would have done it 10 years ago. But the timing works out pretty fun where, you know, you can celebrate both moving forward and what's already been accomplished.
In the future, a lot of it is listening on the app, which is also...
That's right.
That's a great experience.
Digital as well.
And may not matter to a lot of people, but when you hear it on FM, you're going to hear it like a minute or two before you get it on the app is just for whatever reason, the digital signal it's slower. I don't know the... technical reasons behind it, but you're going to get it quicker if you listen on FM, if that kind of thing matters to you. Which I've had a couple of people text in over the last couple of years about that. Well, if I listen on the app, the things that you're talking about happened 2 minutes ago. Like, yeah, it's true, but
that doesn't really matter.
No, yeah. But still, the FM signal is a really big deal. That's not going anyway for a while.
Yeah.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
More good. That's the whole point. I mean, if you want to sum it up in two words, more good.
Yes.
More good everything.
I'm really excited to hear Cardinal baseball in FM.
It'll be great.
Yeah. Because as Ronj pointed out, you just hear a lot more detail, right? So you'll hear the crack of the bat better. It'll be more distinct. You'll hear some of the chatter in the crowd a little bit better. Probably not too many. You won't hear like somebody's conversation, but you're going to hear it in a little bit more detail. And then obviously you get to hear John and Rick and their booming voices in FM, which is cool. Mm-hmm. It's just a cool sound.
You might get to hear the bad words from the crowd, too.
Sometimes, or from the field, depending on how hot that field mic
is. That's right.
Rach, Andrew, thoughts?
I'm super excited. I just think it's something we've been wanting for a long time is to be on FM. And I think this is just, I can't believe it's really happening. Like, I'm like pinching myself today. This is so, so cool. And, you know, someone commented on the stream and said, oh, but what about Hot 104.1? That brand is sticking around. It'll be 98.7.
Mm-hmm.
So you can still listen to that as of the 24th.
Yeah. And that message is being put out right now on Hot 104. So, like, the people that are listening now will get that message that it's just shifting to 98.7. And that'll happen the same day that we make the switch over. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And we'll remind people, too. You know, I'm sure some people will tune in on March 24th and they'll be like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
we'll drop that reminder in just to make sure everybody knows.
Yeah, we'll be talking a lot about this and any changes that are coming up or any programming changes we'll let you know about, obviously. And then we'll be good to go opening day.
Yeah, this will be a part of this baseball season. Yep.
Yep. March 24th.
Yeah.
So that week leading into Kegs and Eggs. And
yeah, because the game is the 27th. So it'd be nice. So we started on a Monday and opening day is Thursday.
When is the first game? Away game? Or do we start at home this year?
No, we start at home this year against Minnesota, yep. Yeah. Okay. So that'll be Thursday the 27th. Take on those Twins.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
How'd the weekend go down there?
Pretty good. Nothing terrible happened, which is always good, right? Nobody got hurt. Got a couple of guys, and Gorman and Burleson went deep yesterday,
nice.
Which is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Scott's still doing well. Very excited about that. Yesterday I got up early and dealt with the losing the hour. Got up early to fill in for Tom on sports on a Sunday because Tom was traveling down to Florida. Got to talk to Mo, and Mo talked a lot about Victor Scott and a lot of the improvements he's made, not only offensively but defensively, working with John Jay. They're very excited about him. Mo talked a lot about how excited he is for Matthew Liberatore as a starter. And that, I mean, he's looked good so far, but he even said, like, I think his future is as a starter. And we just talked about that in the Gas House Gang. So he's got all the pitches. And Mo really gave a lot of detail on Liberatore in terms of he did a lot more and did things differently this offseason in terms of conditioning and strengthening and getting his body in position to be a starter more than he had done previously. So it was a compliment to him now, but maybe noting something that should have been happening sooner. If that's his upside, if that's what they think, it'll be fascinating to see, do they make that happen? Because you got five veteran starters. Do you say, well, Steven Matz, you're going to the pen because we want Liberatore to start? Do you trade one of those guys to the Yankees because they've had two guys go down with injuries for long periods? Do you trade Eric Fetty? Do you trade Matz and make that room for him? But that's going to be something to follow for the next couple weeks. I mean, Liberatore has that upside, and let's keep this in mind, too, and I'll give Bernie a tip of the cap on this because he brought it up on Gas House Gang. Chaim Bloom was running the minor league in Tampa when they drafted Liberatore. So that's one of his guys, and he was one of the people that, you know, when they traded him to the Cardinals for Rosarena, they were kind of hesitant about it because they loved Matthew Liberatore. So this could also be reflecting some of Chaim's input, too. Which makes it even more interesting.
Well, when the Cardinals traded for him, that was their intent.
Oh, that's what they thought he was going to be. He's a starter, right. I mean, he was a top 100 prospect. At one point, he was the first or second ranked left-handed pitcher in all of minor league baseball. And he's pitched about 100 innings as a starter, and it wasn't great. But that doesn't tell you a lot necessarily, right? I mean, Greg Maddux had a 5.5 ERA his rookie year. You know, he turned out okay. You know, that doesn't mean Liberatore is going to be Maddux. It just means that You want to exhaust that opportunity before you commit to you're just going to be a reliever because you can always go back to relieving if the starting thing fails again. It's hard to go the other way the further and further you go.
So go ahead, Ron.
No, I was just going to say this is making me think of Kevin knows Chris Sale well. Just unbelievable. Just won a Cy Young, you know. And when he first came up, he had a couple of elbow inflammation issues.
Yeah, and they worried about his delivery.
They freaked out, and they said, well, we're going to make him a closer.
Yep.
And he lost his mind on them and said, you are not putting me in the bullpen. Because they were talking about making that permanent.
Right.
And he said, no, I'm a starter. And, of course, that would have been a really stupid move to put him in the bullpen.
Yeah, because he's been a regular all-star Cy Young. I mean, he's one of the most dominant pitchers in the game when he's out there.
Because the value of a pitcher, if you can get him as a starting pitcher, no matter how good of a reliever they are, always, always going to be multiple times better for the organization if you can make them a starting
pitcher. A fourth
pitcher.
Starter is a bigger deal than an eighth inning guy by a long shot.
So no doubt.
Putting the past behind us, as we sit here today, are you hoping that Arenado stays with us?
I mean, it depends. I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion for the start of the year. And then after that, it just kind of depends on how things go.
Right.
How he's playing, how they're playing. If, you know, he's shown some improvements in bat speed and stuff down in Jupiter. So if that stays and he's being productive, then that certainly changes because it changes the window that you're trying to turn things around in, right? So if he's good, and let's say Gorman and Walker are pretty good, and then Weatherholt's coming. So it might actually help stabilize you in 2026. So I would say right now it's just more of you got to wait and see. I don't know that I could say yes or no. You know, if he's going well and you get to July, but some of the other parts aren't firing, it might make sense to do it because you still have some more work to do, right? You still have more pieces to add. But if you're in that time of year and you're competitive and you're pretty good and you're getting some good answers, maybe it does make more sense at that point to keep him around.
If the season started next week, would it be difficult to keep Victor Scott out of center field?
Dude, if they were making the call today, I don't know how he wouldn't be the starter.
Right.
I mean, I just don't know how you wouldn't do it. I know that the manager loves Michael Ciani's defense in center field, but he doesn't hit. He hasn't hit at any level. He's not hitting in spring training. So if it's a competition between the two of them, it's not close right now. Even though Ciani's probably still a little bit better defensively, Victor Scott is making up ground in that way, and he's just a much more dangerous hitter. But he also brings an element of speed that very few people have. Not many people have gone out and stolen 100 bases in the minor leagues. And he's not going to do that here. Like, that doesn't really translate equally, but that could translate to 60, 70 stolen bases. And that's by itself. I mean, that turns a walk into a double. It turns a single into a double. So if he's lacking in power, just getting on base, he can add extra bases with just the speed. And then you have to factor in the danger of that. The other team's now got to think about it. The pitcher's now got it in his head. The catcher's got it in his head. They're going to change the pitches that they call. The position of the infielders is going to be different because you want to make sure you're not giving away too much. So that presence can be a weapon. And if the decision was today, I can't see how it wouldn't be Victor Scott.
And the thing about spring training numbers is they don't always matter.
No, they usually don't.
But yeah. If you are filling out a roster and you need that 24th, 25th spot, and you've got a young player, it's kind of the best way to figure it out. It's kind of the best way to determine who gets that final
spot.
I asked
Mo about that yesterday, too, because that's part of this, right? We can look at stats, but they're misleading with only 13, 14 games. It's not very much. But now, thankfully, we have batted ball numbers from every ballpark in the minor leagues with the exception of one. So we can now say, you know what? Victor Scott is legitimately hitting the ball hard. It's real. It's not somebody saying it. It's not a manager fooling us. It's not any.
It's not bloop singles.
We can see if the production is real or if it's not real. Using Jordan Walker, his real numbers suck, but he's hitting the crap out of the ball. I mean, he's hitting the ball hard a lot. So that tells you, that balances it out a little bit. It's, all right, it may not be as bad as those numbers look, but then what Mo pointed out is they're also taking in data from live batting practices that we don't even see. And they get way more swings and at-bats in those settings than they do in spring training games. So they're looking at those things, and then they're looking at things that they're measuring in terms of jumps and angles in the outfield and all that. So they actually have a lot more information that goes into evaluating a player than what we can see. Yeah, yeah.
124 DGS. People online are celebrating that we're going to an FM signal 2 weeks from today. Other people worried because they are out of town and they don't want to lose the 1120 signal. You won't.
Nope.
1120 is going nowhere. It'll be a simulcast. The only time you'd hear something different is if we had two big events. For example, when President Trump was shot and there was a game going on.
Yeah, we're in Cardinals pregame, yeah.
Yeah, it allows us to say, okay, there's breaking news. We're going to handle that here. There's a game going on. We're going to handle that there.
Right, and so you see that sometimes. Like an example of it would be if you're watching college football on a Saturday and a game on ESPN is running late. The noon game's running late, and then the 3 o'clock game, they say, hey, listen, we're going to start that game on ESPN2. So you can go see that there, and then it'll be back here once this other game's over. So in that case, we could switch one. I don't know. That would be up to the bosses which one. But one would switch to covering the Trump news on the shooting attempt, and then the other would stay baseball, and then you're meshing back together once it's
gives us a ton of flexibility.
Yeah.
It also, just from my point of view, being in this market for 25 years now, it just flat out allows us to compete. You know, when I was coming up in the business, KMOX was number one 6+.
Oh, yeah.
Which means 6-year-olds the way up. And you just didn't look at the ratings because you knew who would be number one. It was KMOX. And 97.1, we made a move. And, you know, Casey had big years. And it's just been very frustrating to be a big part of the content, but have it be a little bit like the highway moved. And your restaurant that everyone loved and everyone went there on the weekends and their birthdays. Now the highway moved and it's kind of inconvenient to get there. That was kind of the vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is really, really nice for us.
We just opened a second bigger restaurant. That's all it is.
Yes.
Yep. Good. It'll be good for everybody. Every listener, obviously all of us.
Everyone.
Good for the Cardinals. Good for sponsors. Good for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sponsors will reach a lot more people.
Yep.
And the great thing is you get to choose.
Yep.
If you like 1120, listen to 1120.
Leave it there, man.
If you like the FM signal, listen to 104.1 starting in 2 weeks. If you like the Odyssey app, which I do, listen to that. Can't go wrong.
We're everywhere, Dave.
We are everywhere.
And we're on TV, too.
Yeah. Yay.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, soon to be 104.1 FM KMOX. We apologize early because we're going to be cramming this down your throat, and you're going to get tired of it. You're going to be like, we got it, you're going to FM. But it's a big deal for us, and we're going to be using guerrilla marketing to put it out there. And so that's what we'll be doing. So we'll be talking a lot about it. And it starts 2 weeks from today, and we'll be ready for opening day. You'll get to hear Cardinal Baseball on FM, which will be fantastic. And there'll be some changes, although we truly don't know exactly what they will be. But we will be leaning into sports, which... Duh.
And specifically Cardinals.
Duh.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean, when you have all the horses we have, it's kind of silly not to.
Yeah, and I would point out, too, like, for those of you that listen, like, long periods of time, hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour, we know that gets repetitive. Just remind you that you guys are kind of the unique ones. The radio audience tends to change every 15 minutes, which is why we repeat it all the time. We know that if you've heard it, you get it.
Yeah.
We're not trying to just pound it back into your head.
Yes.
But we have new people coming and going all the time. That's how radio works. But if you're one of the people that's always there, we love you. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. We should say that more often.
Yeah.
Because people use KMOX, pardon me, and the DGS differently than they use others.
Right, right.
Like, our time spent listening has always been really, really big. The two things now, the radio lesson. There's QM, how many people are listening.
Right.
And there's time spent listening, how long are they listening.
Right.
Typically, when your QM goes up, your TSL goes down because you have more bodies. They're going to be less... P1s,
right,
you know,
right.
Less obsessed with a show or a station. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting. let's continue to talk some sports because we're just coming off the weekend. I have questions for you guys. Explain to me what happened with Michigan, Michigan State. Some sort of turf war over the center court.
Ah, they're just doing rivalry stuff. Yeah,
so kind of the same thing that's been happening in football.
It always, yes, it's the same stuff. There's always a big rivalry there, and the joke in that area is that Michigan State is little brother to Michigan, the big brother, because Michigan's been more successful in sports.
Yeah,
over not all the time, but 90% of the time, Michigan sports are better than Michigan State sports. They just, except for a big chunk of basketball years with Tom Izzo, but we're talking historically and football mostly. So yeah, that they always get heated and they have that little dynamic, and then the crowd was chanting, you know, at Michigan State, little brother, like all that stuff. So
who won the game?
Michigan State. Okay. Little brother won. Because yeah. Little brother's better at basketball at the moment. Yeah.
And then speaking of basketball and confrontations, LeBron confronted Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, did you guys see this? Did you see this, Ronch?
I sort of.
Okay,
yeah, so Stephen A. was talking about him, and LeBron heard about it.
So you see, no, LeBron confronted him face to face at the arena, like on the court. So
he heard it during. I thought he heard about it and then confronted
him
later.
Right. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. The story advancing was Stephen A. had said some things about Bronny. I think essentially, like, Bronny's not good enough, shouldn't be there, something along those lines.
Bronny is his son.
That's LeBron's son, who, by the way, shouldn't be in the NBA, but he is because his dad's name is LeBron. So Stephen A's right on that. But Stephen A was courtside, and LeBron approached him, and you could see he's chewing him out. You can't hear it. If you're a lip reader, you could probably figure it out, but Stephen A described it, said, I can't use the words he was using on the air because I'll get in trouble. So he got chewed out by LeBron for the things that he was saying about LeBron's son. Stephen A. got chewed out. And Stephen A. came back with a response, which was essentially, that wasn't a player talking to me. That was a dad talking to me. And he's like, I can respect that. And my response is, no, I can't respect that. You don't need to go stick up for your kid. If your kid is really there on his own merit, you don't be a stage dad. Don't be the dad that's going to go to bat for his grown son. Like, that's over the line. You cannot go to people and tell them they can't be critical of your kid. Because your kid's not good enough, and you have to be able to see that. Like, he was taken where he was taken at the end of the second round for a reason, and it wasn't because he wanted to be a Laker. It's because he wouldn't be in the NBA at this time. Now, maybe with a couple more years of college basketball, you know, he could have been. It's not like he was tearing up the college basketball world. He was just a guy in college at USC. He wasn't one of the main guys. He wasn't a stud. He wasn't what Cooper Flagg is at Duke.
Why do you think LeBron picked Stephen A? Because he's plenty of blame to go around.
Yeah, I mean, I think it might have been. It was probably specifically what Stephen A. had said, but also because he's a big voice, right? If a normal basketball guy says something, or if an analyst says something off cuff, it's not as big of a deal, but Stephen A. is a bigger face. He's everywhere, and he's louder about it. I mean, it can be sometimes just the way you say things, because Stephen A.'s always going to say things like it's a hot take. He's always going to say it like it's the most important thing you're ever going to hear in your life, and that's partly why he's in the position that he is. But I'm not a big fan of a dad of a grown son going to tell a media guy, don't say those things about my kid. Like, you know, your kid's a grown person. He's a professional basketball player. And it makes it, to me, this is a bad look because you're just being an overprotective dad, which proves the point that people are making.
And you got to think that your kid probably doesn't want you to do that.
I would think not. I can't think of too many kids that were happy when their dad stepped in.
No.
Or their moms.
No.
Or their wives or girlfriends or their buddies or their brothers. Because there have been a lot of these versions of this, right? I've seen brothers doing it. I've seen, remember when Brenda Warner went to Kurt's defense here and what a big deal that was? I'm sure Kurt probably wasn't real thrilled about that. He may not have hated it because he knows where she's coming from, right? Yeah. But it doesn't help. It never helps. When family members get involved, it never makes it better. It only makes it worse every time.
And I understand the instinct of wanting to protect your son, your daughter, your best friend, your brother or sister, but most of the time, depending on what it is, you really don't want mom and dad coming to your defense. That's more than anything. That trumps everything.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah,
I do not want, because then you look like the kid who can't handle himself and mommy and daddy have to do everything for you. That's not what you want. I promise you, Bronny does not like that his dad did that. And if he did, there's probably something wrong with him.
And I would never like that. When that's the allegation. It would be one thing if he were an A-list player, but he flopped a lot.
Right.
And that's your criticism.
Yeah.
When your criticism is he doesn't belong here, he's only here because you you created it and orchestrated it, then that's a bad look for Bronny.
Yeah, and I actually kind of feel bad for him in that respect.
Yeah. And then at my my alma mater, SIUE, what have we done?
Oh, they're the tournament for the first time ever. They're NCAA tournament.
Won the OVC conference championship. They're the first team this year to get in because they had the first championship game.
That's so cool.
And our buddy Joe Pott, Joe helps out on our Cardinals broadcast, and he'll fills in for Tom sometimes on
Great
Sports
guy.
On a Monday. He's their play-by-play guy. They've been building this now for like 16, 17 years, trying to get this to a Division I. They've been Division I, but to get to the level where this kind of thing is a possibility, that is such a cool story. I mean, not only to get the first, because the first team always gets national headlines because it's the first one. So that goes beyond just them getting attention here in St. Louis. Like that's on ESPN. That's in all of the. That's on all over Twitter. It's all over social media because all the basketball fans are excited for March Madness, and here's the first team that punches their ticket to the dance. And it always gets you that little bit of extra love. So
and SLU could do it too,
cool.
But they have to win the A-10.
They're going to have to win the A-10, yeah.
And who are they going to have to beat?
We don't know
Davidson
exactly yet.
Or Richmond, it's one of those two.
Yeah, they got to beat one of them, and then obviously they'll have to win three more after that. They're going to have to win Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to make the run. And yesterday I had a chance to talk to Josh Schertz, the coach, because obviously filling in for Tom, Coach Schertz comes on almost every week. And he's great, and he gave us a great kind of analysis of what his team needs to do to make the run. And it basically his simple explanation was they got to stop committing turnovers.
Because every team is skitsy.
Yeah.
Every team.
Yeah.
But SLU really is.
They are.
Like,
it
depends on which team shows up.
Yeah. Their upside is a team that could win this tournament.
Yes.
They have the talent to do it. The problem is they're really thin on numbers. They really rely on four guys.
Yes.
And their bench doesn't go very deep. I mean, they're playing three guys off the bench, but really only one is getting real minutes. So you're playing basically with five or six guys most of the time. So your big four, they have to be good, right? I mean, Swope has to be good. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar needs to be good. Robbie Avila needs to be good. Gibson Jimerson has to be good. And there's not a lot. Kobe Johnson, like those four, they have to be really good at what their part, what their contributions are. So you have to avoid foul trouble, because if any of them is in foul trouble, you are really hurting. And Coach Schertz said from a basketball standpoint, their biggest obstacle is not turning the ball over. Like be more protective of the ball so that you don't give the other team those free, easy opportunities.
Do we play a lower seed Thursday?
Yeah, so they'll be favored to win on Thursday.
12-13 or 13-14.
Yeah, they're the
game.
Five seed.
I forgot what it is.
So they wouldn't face anybody up near the top until Friday at the earliest.
And so, programming note, we'll be starting later on Wednesday because we have a baseball game.
That's correct.
Which is cool.
And on Thursday because we have the Billikens.
Thursday because we have the Billikens.
And actually Friday too, right?
If they win.
Well, if the Billikens win on Thursday, they play.
No, I think there's Cardinals baseball.
Cardinals
Friday.
Play at night on Friday. They play at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a 5 o'clock. Sorry, 5 o'clock game time, 6 o'clock Eastern time for Friday. So a lot of sports this week.
Yeah.
And then Friday afternoon, if the Billikens win Thursday, they will play at 1 o'clock on Friday also. So, and basically, it was kind of neat how the schedule falls for the Billikens. If they win every day, they're basically playing at 1 o'clock. Although I think Sunday might be noon, maybe 1 o'clock Eastern. But yeah, they're both Thursday and Friday could be the same, but they got to win Thursday for that to happen.
And regardless, I will be standing right in this spot between 1 p.m. on Wednesday and 5 p.m. on Friday.
That's right.
You just
you won't move.
Give me a shove and tell me when to start talking.
Yeah.
DGS on KMOX. Beautiful Monday out there. Supposed to be nice all week. And then Friday, supposed to really be rocking and rolling. Last night, some of the meteorologists were already calling it like a weather watch day, first alert, impact day, this far away. So it's in like the storm's in the Aleutian Islands right now. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I understand basically technology and radar and Doppler and all this stuff, but that's still crazy that you can look at a disturbance in Alaska and go like, yeah, Friday it hits.
It's weird to think that it would be the same storm, like the same clouds that are there now are going to come over here.
Hold together that whole time.
So it's a good thing we're getting rid of everybody at NOAA.
Right.
We can know these things because of that, and now we're just, we don't need that anymore.
Now we just got binoculars.
Yeah.
Stand on the roof.
Let's go back.
We get on top of the tallest building.
1800s forecast. Yeah. Let's go do
that. Clouds pretty dark over there.
Hey, listen, man, they still print the Farmer's Almanac. We can know.
That's right. Let's just go buy Farmer's Almanac.
Of course, you knew the net result would be Wheeler being more important.
Oh, yes.
Being a weather spotter.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. My training now as a weather spotter is going to come in handy.
Do you get to make the call if we go into storm mode on Friday? Do they consult you on that?
No.
You're the only certified guy here.
I know. Well, I mean, that's what they do at AccuWeather. You know, they're the ones doing all
that. They do it as well as you,
but
though.
So you know who tells them, though?
Hmm.
People like me. You see stuff and you say stuff.
Ipso facto.
You got a number that you can call for the National Weather Service and you can say, hey, look at what I saw.
All you weather spotter.
AccuWeather calls Kevin and says, Kevin, do you spot any? And he goes, there it is.
There it is. All you weather spotter busybodies out there, just
keep it to
yourself.
Yeah.
It really does sound
so far I have.
It really does sound like the neighborhood.
He calls?
But, no. Neighborhood watch guy.
Yeah, it sounds like the neighborhood watch
Kevin's
of weather.
The neighborhood weather watch
No, but
guy,
I like. Am the, there's a big storm. I'm going out on the porch to look at it. I'm that guy.
Why don't you report it?
Well, I mean, if I saw something that would be noteworthy, I would. I just haven't seen anything noteworthy that I would be like, ooh, they need to know that. Like, if I saw a funnel cloud, I'd be like, hey, guys, there's a funnel cloud. If there was quarter-size hail on my lawn and I saw that, I would tell. They want to know that.
But you got to think they know already.
I would be blowing them
up. Not always they don't.
Okay.
I would have told them so many meaningless things by now.
And they would be like, ah, dang it, that guy again.
He's calling every day to see if the trees are going to.
He's like, hey, I just want to let you guys know the sun's out.
They was calling like, a little windy out there. I didn't know if you guys noticed.
We did get an email today from a listener with a picture of a tree down.
We did. A listener had a very unfortunate experience when a tree blew over on their house.
Oh, no.
Yuck. And the subject of the email was, Dave was right.
Got to listen to Dave. Well, Dave knows about fears.
I'm sure that picture helped you out, Dave.
Yeah,
I was going to say, Dave, not like, helpful.
Just what I needed.
Not helpful.
Dave, you're right. Trees do fall on your house. See?
Curious what skill, if any, you guys have lost. For example, I'm an excellent reader, but I don't like to read. I have lost my joy in sitting down and reading a book.
My handwriting was always kind of bad, but when I try to write things out, dude, I look like I'm just learning. It's so my handwriting is awful. Because I only type. I don't really...
No, you're right.
I don't use my pen
anymore.
You don't
use your penmanship?
Is it this bad?
Oh, it's worse than that.
Is it really?
Yeah, I look like it's... I think mine's Sanskrit now. It doesn't look right.
His looks like people so pasting bad cutouts from the magazine like a serial killer.
Mine's always been bad, but ever since the era of typing, it's just been stunningly bad. I wrote some notes on one of Dave's live copy today, and it is... about 7 characters worth of notes, and it took me like 5 full because I was writing very slow and trying to make it legible. It's so bad.
I know this, and I'm guessing that in school they don't. If you have an essay test, that you don't handwrite it out anymore. You probably type it, right? Mm. Isn't that how it is?
I don't know.
I thought about that just the other day. I wonder how much it's not supposed to, but I wonder how much it hurt my grades in law school that I look like a serial killer writing out my exam.
So your handwriting was bad too?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
So I think if I had to do a handwritten exam right now and I wrote out a couple of pages or whatever, I can envision them just looking at it, giving it back to me. I can't read that.
Yeah. Do you think you would just get into the flow though, like after like half a page? Because you don't write very much, but if you got going, would it come back to you like riding a bike?
I still don't know how to make Z's.
Like in cursive?
Yeah.
Or just, okay.
Oh. Don't write in cursive.
Well, that's how you write quicker.
No, it's true. You guys got a little flow.
If you printed out an entire essay, like an essay test, it would take you forever.
I can show you how to do a Z.
It's like a weird...
You go up twice, and then you loop it.
We're really having this conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
Like we don't know how to make a letter.
I know how to do it.
Hey, you heard of going to FM?
Would you know how to make a like a regular cursive Z? Or how
I know
about
how
the G?
I would.
Like the uppercase G in cursive?
Let's see.
no idea. I know it's not like a regular.
No idea.
I used to use a hybrid. Like I would print certain letters, but then like do the rest in cursive. So like the first letter, a lot of times I would do the regular one.
The bottom one is my signature, which is basically just a Z.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The top one that you
top
just
one's
that's,
a G.
That's right. That's a G. Okay.
Yeah,
that's
G.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But I do that thing, which I tried. This way, I didn't get enough trouble for this. I really tried to give Rachel trouble for this one because we like to give Rachel trouble when we can because she always keeps her nose so clean. And
wait, what? I don't know what you're going to say.
Like
here.
A couple weeks ago, when I was making the thing about if you do cursive and printing, you're a psycho.
Okay.
And then you're like, you mean like you do? And I'm like, oh, damn it. Like, I'm like the quintessential half and half.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I like the hybrid. It looks better.
It's your own thing, isn't it? You know?
Kind of.
I guess my skill that I don't have anymore, I used to be so much better at yoga, and now I haven't like been to a class in a couple of years, and now I can like barely touch my toes at this point. It's really bad.
Use it or lose it, huh?
Yeah, and I keep wanting to go to a class, but I just can't make myself do it.
Is it the social part of it?
It's the, like, I don't want to get there and just be, you know, several levels below what I was in the past and be struggling to keep, be keeping
Just
up.
Go to a real crappy one.
Yeah, just go to, like, a baby yoga class.
Yeah, I'll go with you. You'll look real good.
My dad has started doing yoga, and I think that's very, very funny, because my dad is, like, the least yoga guy I could ever imagine.
Yeah, look
that's
at him.
Cool.
But he's been going, like, three times a week.
Look at that.
Nice.
I know, it's super weird.
Does he like it?
We're all like, that's cool. And Andrew's like, it's super weird.
I would never have thought my father of all people would be doing yoga classes.
Remember when I was going to yoga classes, then the lady just covered me in weights and took a picture and posted it?
Yeah, that was weird.
I do remember.
What? Yeah.
Your foray into...
Mm-hmm.
Was that before OnlyFans or something? Like, what was that?
I think it's how it started.
Yeah.
She put weights on you?
Like relax weights, like we're going to weight you down.
Like body weights.
But it looked real weird and sketch and stupid, and I had a blindfold on.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, when you said it, I was thinking dumbbells.
And she took photos.
Like, she put dumbbells on you?
I bet they're for her own personal collection.
He didn't even get a cut of the profits.
She posted them because a listener said, this looks like Dave.
Uh-oh.
Bad times.
This is a handsome guy all tied up.
Wow, look at this
guy. Who's the hottie in the blindfold?
Oh, wait, that's me.
Who can't get up because he's weighted down.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.